In today's installment of The Story Behind the AP Story, secret audio recordings expose a legal playbook used by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that keeps evidence of sex abuse out of reach of authorities. AP reporters Mike Resendez and Jason Dearin investigated the case of a former Mormon bishop, John Goodrich, who was accused of sexually abusing his daughter, Chelsea. Resendez and Dearin sat down with Michael Montgomery, a senior producer and reporter at Reveal, to talk about their investigative story.
Associated Press reporters Mike Resendez and Jason Dearin have been investigating how the church handles allegations of sexual abuse. It's actually been more than a two-year investigation. And they're both here to talk with me now about what they found. Hey, Jason. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, Michael.
One of the elements I found so perplexing was the decision by the prosecutor to drop all charges against John Goodrich. And I know the prosecutor wouldn't talk to you, just like the church officials wouldn't talk to you, and John Goodrich wouldn't talk to you. Curious about what you ascertained about how and why the entire case collapsed.
Well, I think it comes down to something pretty simple. Prosecutors need evidence in order to prosecute. Prosecutors need evidence in order to convince a grand jury to issue an indictment. And the most important evidence here was a bishop who heard the alleged perpetrator confess. And that evidence was not available to the prosecutor. Without that evidence, it was hard to put a case together.
Do you reckon they had made that decision from the beginning, that in fact, there was never a chance that they were going to allow the bishop to testify?
Well, I don't know what the church's decision was when they made it. However, I should add here that the church would not bend, but the law doesn't bend either. I mean, it is a state law that guarantees the clergy penitent privilege, and the privilege belongs to the penitent. In other words, the bishop in this case was legally prevented from testifying without the permission of John Goodrich. And if you think about it for a second, why would John Goodrich give a bishop permission to testify against him at his own trial? It doesn't make any sense.
You also think about states have set up mandatory reporting laws, right?
Yes.
Specifically to deal with cases of sexual abuse or allegations of sexual abuse. So in this situation, you have an exemption that puts the power in the hands of the alleged perpetrator.
Many states have laws that require various categories of professional. Sometimes it's any person, and sometimes clergy are specifically included in a mandate, in other words, a legal requirement to report any knowledge of child sex abuse. Those laws are very, very well intentioned, but then you have the clergy penitent privilege, which in this case and other cases we've examined really eviscerates the mandatory reporting law. And church doctrine is really at the bottom of this. I mean, the law exists to protect church doctrine.
Yeah, we did a national investigation, kind of a survey of these laws in every state, and we found that this loophole, this clergy penitent privilege loophole to mandatory reporting laws, is on the books in 33 states.
33 states have these sort of exemptions.
Yeah, that's right. And when you talk to legislators about it, as we did in each of the states where these laws exist, many of them don't even know that there's a loophole to the mandatory reporting laws, because the way that those laws are written, they include clergy. But there is a subsection of the law that you actually have to dig into and read that includes an exemption for clergy penitent privilege. So if they learn of child sex abuse during a confession, they are not mandated reporters. They are exempted from those laws. It's a classic loophole. And there have been more than 100 new laws proposed over the past 10, 20 years to close the loophole in these states. And in every case that we studied, either the Catholic Church, the Mormon Church, or influential members of the Jehovah's Witnesses in states where they have a big membership were able to successfully lobby to overturn those new laws that would have closed this loophole.
What are some possible solutions to this problem?
I think the solutions, the potential solutions, are fairly simple to implement. You can honor, acknowledge, and legalize the confessional privilege except in cases of child sex abuse. And how about except in cases of, let's say, first-degree murder? You know, let's outline some exceptions to this sacrosanct privilege. What if someone confesses they're planning to bomb, you know, federal building in their city? I mean, carry to its logical extension, the confessional privilege is absurd and a danger to society.
So So you started this investigation a couple years ago, and the sort of catalyst here were these records you got, I think 12,000 pages of sealed records from a child abuse lawsuit against a Mormon church in West Virginia. I want to ask you what that case tells us about what you call the Mormon church's playbook.
Sure. It turns out that in the Mormon church, pretty much any conversation with a bishop is considered a confession and is considered privileged. The bishop never has to reveal any of those conversations, even if they're, you know, in the parking lot of the Walmart. And then what the bishop does is he calls the helpline. And at the helpline, there are no records kept, or all the records are destroyed at the end of each day. And then the people answering the calls at the helpline, they're instructed to refer all cases of serious abuse to a law firm in Salt Lake City called Curtin McConkie that represents the Mormon church. And once the conversation goes to the lawyers, then the church claims attorney-client privilege. So you have this stream of information flowing that's privileged, secret, and exempt from mandatory reporting laws.
Yeah, and we see the system that Mike just described is displayed in the Goodrich case, and how at every step of the way, it was there to inculcate the church from any sort of responsibility or liability.
In these documents from this West Virginia case, some of this information about how the helpline works is in depositions from Paul Ridding.
Yes, Paul Ridding is director of what the church calls the Risk Management Division. And he, in sworn testimony, said that the purpose of keeping all the records secret is specifically to keep the information out of the hands of juries and lawyers and judges. He said that if there was any chance this information would become public, then perpetrators would not confess and it would be impossible for their souls to be saved.
This whole experience has been such a devastating one for Chelsea and her mother, Lorraine. What we know from the recordings are that the nondisclosure agreement did not prevent them specifically from telling their story. Nevertheless, it took a lot of courage to speak publicly about this.
The Mormon Church is phenomenally wealthy. They have over $1 billion in one investment fund alone. They own property all over the world. So to come out and publicly criticize the process the church used in handling their complaints and their allegations, yeah, I think it does require quite a lot of courage.
You know, these days, Chelsea and her mother are very isolated because of this years-long fight for accountability. They've been ostracized in their community, which is a largely Mormon community. Not only did it take courage to come out and tell their story, but you know, I think they've been brought to a point where they didn't have a lot of options left but to come forward, because they'd tried doing the right thing, going through the proper channels. The church channels didn't work. The criminal justice system, it didn't work.
Mike, it got me thinking about Spotlight, the film, and some of the really brave, courageous acts that you see in that film of people speaking up, speaking out. Do you see echoes in this story, in this investigation, with your work on Spotlight?
Sure, I do. And I see another common denominator here that I just would like to point out, and that's the importance of the press, the importance of the news media. I mean, as Jason was saying, Chelsea played it straight. Her first move was to go to the church. Didn't work. Her second move was to go to law enforcement, went to the police, went to prosecutors. Didn't work. So now she's coming to us. She's coming to the news media, and we're not only telling their story, but the purpose here is to hold an institution to account. You know, it's our purpose here to try to hold the Mormon church to account for a policy that appears to let sexual predators get away with what they're doing.
It's an incredibly powerful and important investigation, and I can't thank you guys enough for talking to me, working with us. Jason and Mike, we really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It's great to be here. Thanks a lot.
For more on this AP story, go to apnews.com. And to listen to an hour-long podcast version, go to revealnews.org.